which will include Jesse's return to NFL power rankings from ESPN coming up. But I do want to get back to briefly, because, again, it wasn't these rookie camp practices, air quotes, that left guys puking. It was in the past, and that's why LaFleur wanted to dial it back. I don't know how many they were. I don't know who they were. I don't know what their diets were. But the fact remains that Matt LaFleur did a lot of walkthrough stuff and then did this one quasi-practice that was just individual drill work. But what I want to get to with you, Brian, is this. What are these guys experiencing now? Because the transition, you're a first-round pick. You're a big-time college football player. But you're still the new guy and one of many new guys in a new environment. And I always say this, but people forget, you're like real human beings. You're not robots. So we may think, oh, these guys are in the NFL. But what did you feel that early portion of your NFL career where it's just getting started? And, you know, Tausch went through it as an undraft or as a seventh round pick and surrounded by a bunch of first round picks and undrafted free agents way back in 2000. What do you remember of that transition, even as a first round pick?
Yeah, I mean, tons of nerves, right? Like, and I mean, obviously there's the expectation of being a first round pick and wanting to make sure you come good to that expectation because, you know, regardless of where you're drafted, you have an expectation for yourself and you put pressure on yourself to perform and do all, you know, do that and make a name for yourself. And then you put on that first round draft pick tag that, now everyone else around you, you know, has this expectation of how good you should be or guys you're competing with for starting jobs look at you a different way. Well, if this guy's a first round pick, he should be able to do this or I'm better than this kid. I mean, and he was a first round pick and the defensive guys that you're going against, they expect a certain level of player that to be going against because you were a first round pick. Like, it's why I say it. I think I earned a lot of respect early on in my career in training camp because of who I had to block every day, and that was Clay. And I thought because of how I competed with him, I earned a lot of respect solely because of that. Just because when you're going up against such a high-end pass rusher every rep, I mean, you're not going to win every rep. I didn't win every rep. I'm not saying I did. I mean, Clay beat me. He beat me throughout training camp my rookie year, but I also won plenty of times as well. So, like, it's not like it was a one-sided affair, but at the same time, you earn that respect from guys like that, and that's how you earn it through the offensive line room as well. Like, we watch all the tape. Guys see how you're performing and doing all that. But the question that you ask is, like, there's – you know, especially from this time right now, like this time right now that these guys have, they did their little rookie mini camp. I think they go away for like a week, right, Jason?
Yep.
A week or two, then they come back for OTAs. It's very nerve-wracking because all the veterans are back, right? They're back doing their thing. You know, they're getting in the full swing of things. And you kind of wish you could just be put right into that because – when they insert the rookies back in, right? When they put the rookies back in, the veterans are in full swing, right? Like, all the installs have happened, and they're doing their things, and individual drills have been going, and you know, everything is running pretty smooth. And then you insert the rookies, and it kind of starts to slow down a little bit. The coaches have to kind of double take everything and it just things get a little jumbled for a while. So you kind of wish as a rookie you could just jump right in with the vets right now so that you can get on their pace and learn with them and well, not really learn with them because they should know the offense and the defense, but you can kind of go through the process with them as they're refreshing, you're learning and you can ask questions and kind of be involved. But for me, I was nervous as heck going away and then coming back and being dumped back into this O-line room where I knew it was full of veterans. Like, I knew it was full of, you know, veteran players. And it's like, okay, well, here we go. Time to learn and try to get adapted to this. Because I mean, the offense, you know, now that once I got into it, it was, you know, not easy, but I learned it pretty quick. But that rookie orientation camp, like, my head was spinning. And then now here we go. We're getting back into this thing, and I'm trying to learn this thing with these guys that know this like the back of their hand, and I'm trying to ask questions, and they're looking at me like I'm kind of an idiot. And you're like, well, sorry, like, I don't really understand. Like, I don't know this or I don't know that yet. And you know, you're a little intimidated by it, right? And all these guys that are professionals, and you're just trying to make a name for yourself. You're trying not to screw up. You're trying to just be one of the guys, right? You're trying to do all these things. And still at the same time, there's this expectation that, you know, you're a first-round pick. You need to perform and show that you're the guy that we all want you to be. So it's a little bit of a nervy time early on. And I think once you get through this OTA section, right, like, and you kind of get your feet in the ground and you understand kind of the process of everything, training camp, I feel like, is a little bit easier. Like, I do, I think, because it's all football. Like, the scheduling is obviously, you know, you're going from, I think they, you know, now the guys get to stay at their house, which is just unfair. It's just unfair. I will complain about that. I will complain. Yes, I will complain about that. That's unfair. But, like, you know, for the young guys, like, their schedule's pretty set. So, like, you know, and it's a good routine that they get into. So, like, training camp, it gets easier, not from a physical standpoint, but from a mental standpoint, they get in a good routine and they can learn. This is a little bit of a whirlwind because they get thrown out on the practice field. You're expected to know these things with the veterans. You're out there going to get up against the veteran defense. It's tough, and mistakes happen, and they're going to happen. So OTAs when I was a rookie is different than OTAs look now. And Jason, you know this, they look different. They were a little more physical, a lot more physical than they are now. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know if I am, but were we allowed to be in helmets and shoulder pads during OTAs? I think we were.
Helmets, yes. Shoulder pads, no.
Was that mini camp that we were allowed to be in?
That was mini camp. Yes, mini camp.
Yes.
But yeah. I just, the most vivid memory I have is after you guys signed Jeff Saturday, who obviously was a big wig at the NFLPA, and you guys are just in helmets and T-shirts, no pads, but you're going through 11-on-11 stuff, and you're still colliding with each other. You're not all out, you know, you're not getting bull rushed, none of that stuff, but it was still 11-on-11. And I remember him turning to us. We'd barely talked to the guy. Like, we don't know him. It's not like the relationships we had with the guys we'd covered for a while. And it must have been 2012, maybe. And he turns to all of us 12. Standing there watching practice, and he says, "Does that look like non-contact to you guys? You should write about that." Like, during the practice.
Oh, my gosh. He was a big non-contact guy. I mean, he was by the rules, right? I mean, because those were collectively bargained rules, right? Like, that's something that we actually really fought for were the changes in that, you know, that off-season programming was something that really they fought for, because that was a big deal, right?
Like, yeah, they should have fought for lifelong health care and other improvements instead of, well, you don't have to work quite as hard in the off season. I never understood that. Never got it. Because owners were like, sure, whatever you guys want, as long as we can keep more of your money and we don't have to pay it out to you after you've retired. So dumb.
As long as we don't have to take care of you guys after 5 years once you retire.
Right.
Like, sure. Sure. Yeah, whatever.
The worst.
Well, I mean, as they always say, like, because you'll be your healthiest for 5 years after you're done. After that, we know you're going downhill. So,
right?
Yeah, we're good. Like, we're good. That's why I always say, like, our PA is so good at negotiating. They're so good. I'm joking, obviously.
That seems very authentic. Exactly. All right. Jesse's very excited because he loves NFL ESPN power rankings, and there's no better time to do them than on May 6th. So we're going to do that next. I'm very eager to see. I have not, Jesse, I swear to you, I have not clicked the link. So I don't know where the Packers land. So it'll be a surprise to all, and I know Brian hasn't. So we will find out from Jesse together.
Some bold commentary going to be in here, too, from Rob DeMoss.
I always enjoy that.
Very bold.
It's always one of my favorites. That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Your off-season, post-draft, post-free agency, pre-minicamp, got enough caveats for you, NFL power rankings presented by Jesse's Discounted Golf Balls. Get a good deal on your NFL draft golf balls at Jesse's World of Golf.
Available now, actually, at the Packers Pro Shop. Apparently a lot cheaper than they were 2 weeks ago. ESPN's NFL Nation, guys, has accumulated their post-draft power rankings, and along with doing so, has also provided commentary on the position group most improved for each team. Of course, that means Rob Domofsky, ESPN's Packers NFL Nation reporter, has made his selection for the Green Bay Packers. First of all, it's the offseason, so we don't have to go through, okay, who's number one, who's number two. Just where do you think the Green Bay Packers are? I will tell you this. They were ranked ninth in the post-free agency power rankings back in late March. So they were ranked ninth. Where do you think the Green Bay Packers are now? Brian Bulaga, Iowa. What do you think?
I'm gonna say they held steady at nine.
Mr. Well, you're Bulaga. Almost as bold as Domofsky.
That's a wow. Cool. Okay, Jason.
Sorry.
Hey,
they didn't get better.
Hey,
they didn't get worse.
You don't have anything to apologize for.
Very, very much the same team. Okay.
Well, in fairness, I tend to agree that this is. Kind of a dumb
exercise. Of
course,
you're going to say that too.
But I will say this. I think they did something that the pundits found to be, as Tausch would like to say, sexy, don't you think? Which I know is no longer a hot button, I'm guessing. Oh, no, it's the alert!
Don't you think?
Indeed. Hot key, not hot button. Let me get that right.
Heard it both ways.
I'm going to say because they added a wide receiver in the first round, that is going to get things percolating. So you said you said they were ninth?
They were ninth in the post-free agency rankings.
All right. I'm going to be bold here. I'm going to say that shot them up all the way to seventh.
Wow.
Seventh.
All right. We take a look at it.
Who's right?
Number one, the Kansas City Chiefs remain at the top. Number two, the Philadelphia Eagles, despite pounding the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
So weird.
Chiefs are one, Eagles are two. Up one spot in the number three position, the Buffalo Bills. Down one spot, the reigning NFC North champion, one seed, still didn't win a playoff game last year, Detroit Lions. The number five ranked team.
Did they not win a playoff game?
No, they lost to Washington. They had a bye and lost to Washington.
Oh,
the NFC North went 0-3 in the playoffs last year.
Poor, bad, terrible. Okay.
Number five, remaining steady, the Baltimore Ravens. Number six remaining steady in the same Metroplex, the Washington Commanders. So there's your top six. Now it gets interesting.
Here it is.
In at number seven, Davante Adams and the Los Angeles Rams. In at number seven.
If they'd
have
signed Davante Adams, maybe they'd be seventh.
In at number eight, up one spot, the Green Bay Packers.
So we're both wrong.
Split the difference. They didn't stay the same. They did improve, but not by two. They didn't get an eagle. They got a birdie. All right. In at number 8 in the rankings, one spot ahead of the Minnesota Vikings, who are also up one spot from 10 to 9. The team that dropped the most in at number 10 to round out the top 10, the Cincinnati Bengals. They had been ranked 7 after the draft.
What?
Down to 10.
What did they do that dropped them?
Lack of splashy offseason moves. The big money was spent on maintaining strength at wide receiver in T. Higgins and Jamar Chase. By drafting Taj Brooks as a running back and bringing back Samaje Perine as a running back, Cincinnati should have an improved backfield group behind Chase Brown. Mm. And that's all we have from ESPN NFL Nation reporter Ben Baby. So I don't know why they dropped 3 spots. I don't know much about the Bengals.
I just know that Samaje Perine is a fun name to say. All right, so what did the Ben Baby of the Packers beat, Rob Domofsky, have to say about the Packers' improvement? I'm guessing he went for the low-hanging fruit of the wide receiver.
Brian Bulaga, do you think you want to take wide receiver or the field for bold Bob Domofsky's most improved position for the Green Bay Packers?
I have a feeling he's going to go wide receiver. If I had to take a guess, the first and the third round pick used in the draft, I'm going to say wide receiver.
Bold Bob, very predictable. Wide receiver, the most improved position for the Green Bay Packers. Rob writes, quote, sure, the Packers have a handful of rookie receivers, and GM Brian Gutekunst has said in the past that it's one of the most difficult positions to make an impact at right away. Still, Green Bay invested 2 of its first 3 draft picks at the position, taking Matthew Golden at 23 and Savion Williams at number 87. After the draft, Goody said, quote, I didn't think I'd be up here talking about taking 2 receivers. But with Christian Watson likely out until November with a torn ACL, the Packers needed to make those picks. They've also signed Mecole Hardman in free agency, but he's not guaranteed a roster spot. Rob Domofsky in this week's Power Rankings.
Very, very, very bold from Rob Domofsky. Brian, just an overarching thing, since someone's travel plans have been impacted, so we'll have more time to talk more about this roster tomorrow. But putting them 8th in these rankings, I hate these rankings, right? I think they're stupid. I don't know why we're doing them. But I like using them as a jumping off point, because in the NFC, at least in their opinion, Philly is ahead of them, Detroit is ahead of them, Washington is ahead of them, and the Rams are ahead of them. So that puts them 5th in the NFC, just ahead of the Vikings, who are 6th in the NFC. I'm curious, when you kind of feel about, when you look at their offseason, with what they added with Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs in free agency, Mecole Hardman, and now the draft, do you feel like they are a top 5 NFC team, or do you feel like you like them a little bit better than that?
I think they're a top 5 NFC team, 5 or 6 NFC team. I mean, that's where I think they're going to be.
But not better than that. You don't right now, you don't feel like they're better than that.
Than a top 5 team?
Yeah, like a top 2 or like that they're in the conversation with Philly or Detroit as being the best in the NFC.
Probably not as of yet. And the only reason why I say that because I can only go off past results, mm-hmm. right? Like, and that's really what it is. Like, and you can add the free agents, right? And you can draft the guys that we all thought were needs, right? Which I think is fantastic, which is good. First, we need to see those guys perform on this team, right? And see how they fit into the system, which, you know, we'll see how that goes. But we got to see the performance have an uptick from last year and how they finished, right? Because we kind of saw, mm-hmm. You know, we look at the last few games of the season, and it just it was uninspiring, to say the least, right? Like, you kind of see how those things went, you know, the last few games of the season, and you want to see kind of a turnaround from that. So Do I think that they can compete and be one of the top teams in the NFC? I sure do. I definitely think they could be. You see how they competed against Detroit last year. They did. They played Detroit. I mean, I think the game at home against Detroit was a little, but the one against Detroit at Detroit, they battled them, right? They played them tough. Clean a couple things up, and that game looks different, right? Like, and they probably walk away with a win against Detroit, but they weren't that type of, you know, they were a little loose in certain areas. You know, do they clean those things up? If they do this year, they certainly can be a top team in the NFC, but you need to see it. And that's kind of why I say that. But are they top five, top six? Yes, I definitely think they are. But it's hard to say, Jason, and you know this too, like, because they drafted a guy in the first round, because they drafted a guy in the third round at wide receiver, it is so hard to automatically say they are improved now at wide receiver. They're improved just because you drafted two guys. Like, do we hope those guys improve the room? Yes. I mean, from potential, yes, we do. Like, we see the first round pick and how explosive he is. We see the third round pick and how, like, he does have potential and what he can bring. But, like, they got to go out there and do it, right? Like, that's the thing. Like, so it's hard to say that those things have been improved until they actually go out there and do it in the NFL. So that's where I always hold judgment until these guys actually step between the white lines when it's for real, and then we get to see it. Do they have the potential? Do they look like exciting products? Hell yeah, they do. They look really good. Mm-hmm. They look like they could be, you know, really good players, and I'm excited to watch them play, but they got to go do it. And at the end, it's about the product that gets put on the field, and we'll see.
Were they a top five NFC team even entering the playoffs last year? Like, yes, they were. They were literally the seven seed. But I
literally,
think we all thought they were better than Washington, even going into the playoffs, until Washington had the big coming out party against Detroit. We all thought they were probably better than Tampa, because Tampa was a division winner. They got a home game. Like, they were kind of, I think, until they lost to Philadelphia, even with the losses to Minnesota and Chicago at the end of the year, we still thought they were a top five NFC team. So to me, not much has changed from the end of the season, even though they've made improvements or wherever you think they've gotten better.
They had the fifth best record in the NFC last year.
There you go. Yeah.
Tampa Bay and the Rams were 10-7. Washington had a better record.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Jesse, it's not about, like, I agree. Do I think they're a top five team? Yes. But Jason asked, do I think they're like a top two? Mm-hmm. And, like, that's where I'm holding judgment on that, because, like, how we ended the season was on a, like, a
three-game losing streak.
Yes. Like, and you look how we played against Chicago. Like, that game sticks out to me. I still remember watching that game and just being kind of shell-shocked by it. Like, sloppy. In all honesty. Like, just really, really bad. Like, and to me, like, I think the defense played admirably against Philly and Philly. Like, right? Like, I think stood up and they played well. Like, I really do. And I think that's a good momentum carrier for that defense coming into the season. But there's two sides of the ball. Well, technically three with special teams. But there's two sides of the ball, right? Like, and our offense struggled mightily those last three games. They did. And you can say, maybe not Jacobs. I mean, Jacobs played well the whole season. But, like, you look at the offense as a whole, that's where, like, if you're going to be a top two team in a division or in a conference, the offense needs to go, right? The offense has to be there no matter what. So, like, that's the way I look at it. And, you know, defense can win championships, yes, but you need to score points. Yeah. And that's where we're at. And I think they can do it, but we got to see it.
Offense, defense, and, of course, we-fence. All right, Jesse, we will be in Rockford on Thursday at the Hard Rock Casino. Rockford, 9 to noon. Going to be a great show. We're looking forward to it, and you'll be there, too.
I will be. I didn't make the cut to be on the promotional graphic. That's okay. They're coming to see you guys. My mom and dad might come. They'll come to see me and maybe you guys too. I don't even need to pretend to be Tausch to tell you about the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, because I'll be there with you guys on Thursday, and hopefully a lot of our fans come out as well for a great Thursday of fun. The new Hard Rock Casino Rockford features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. It is really fun at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. I watched the Green Bay, Tennessee game there last year right after they had opened. It was awesome, and I can't wait to go back here this week with you guys. Hard Rock Casino Rockford showcases a museum-worthy collection of more than 500 pieces of authentic music memorabilia, including items from artists like Prince, Cheap Trick, Eddie Vedder, the Blues Brothers, and I don't know about you, Taylor Swift. Pretty exciting. Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford, Illinois. Come join us for the Wildy and Tausch live broadcast at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford this Thursday from 9 to noon.
Whoa, Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We didn't leave a whole lot of time, but nevertheless, it's time for Whoa, Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa, Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Another potential loss for journalism. Having a tough week.
We already lost the Kentucky Derby. What now?
Andrew Filippone, which, no pun intended by journalism, the horse losing, and then a story from a Twitter handle called at the Pony Express. Pretty ironic,
that's clever,
though.
I like that. Does he own a pizza place by the Brooklyn Bridge?
I don't know that. I believe he's in Pittsburgh. He is a Pittsburgh radio host.
Okay. Oh, no.
Source...
Oh, no.
The Steelers will host the Vikings in Ireland on September 28th, not the Packers, contrary to popular belief. Of course, it was first reported by Ben Brust of Kyle Brust and Nortman that the Packers would be the opponent for the Steelers September 28th in Ireland. This has not yet been confirmed by the NFL, so I guess there's still a chance that Brust is correct. It was addressed on their show yesterday afternoon. Jason Wilde, graduate of the journalism school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you're only as good as your sources. I don't know who Ben's source is or was. Now, I did see from the Pony Express, Andrew Filippone, that the date is September 28th. Per Andrew, correct?
Correct. So that part is right.
So I wonder, and I like Ben. I love the fact that he has gone from doing galactically stupid things like having Matt LaFleur sign his Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey, making all of our lives more difficult to cover the team for Good Karma Brands and ESPN Wisconsin during training camp a couple years ago, to trying to be a capital J journalist. And I think he felt pretty good about his sourcing. So in fairness to Ben, I do wonder if the Aaron Rodgers to the Steelers component, maybe things changed when that started to become a thing. Because he reported that a really long time ago, Jesse.
Yeah, it was pretty early into the offseason. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to give Benny Buckets, Benny benefit of the doubt, and say maybe the plan was for it to be the Packers, but the idea of Packers versus Aaron Rodgers with the Steelers and they have shifted their plans, and now it'll be the Vikings instead. That I'm going to say that, and I hope we get to the bottom of it. I will reach out to my people inside 1265 and see if they were being told by the league that they should plan on playing in Ireland, and now that they're not, or whatever it may be. I'm not going to give up on Benny's reporting just yet.
Independent of the Ben Brust component of things here, Bulaga, do you wish the Packers
Did you just call him Bulaga?
Yeah, Brian Bulaga.
Hey, Blue. Hey, Brian. Hey, Bulaga! Give me some chew.
Brian Bulaga, do you wish the Packers were the opponent for the Steelers in Ireland this year? Do you want to see the Packers, well, if it's not this year, at some point play a game in Dublin?
No, because they're 0-2 overseas right now. So, like, I'd rather not. But just stay in the States.
How about Germany? I want to go to Germany. I want to go to Germany. Can we go to Germany?
Yeah. Eventually you got to go over there and get a win at some point, right? Like, I mean, hopefully.
Maybe you can play FC Bayern.
Yeah, maybe play Bayern Munich. You could probably beat them. But it's I don't know where Benny's getting his sources from confirming that game was going to be the Packers. But maybe it is the Aaron Rodgers Bowl. Maybe the NFL knows something about him going potentially to one of those two teams. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, maybe it's going to be Minnesota or Pittsburgh. Maybe they're hedging their bet, one of the two. And they're thinking if he snubs Pittsburgh, now there's bad blood between them. Now we can get a bad blood game too. And now it's like, it's just a lot of fun. Now we got a really fun game overseas. But like, again, I don't know.
I like where your head is at. I like it.
Erica in Milwaukee points out on the Carbless ESPN Wisconsin talk and text line, Liz is more. Poor Rodgers. He went overseas with Green Bay his last year here, then went with the Jets last year, and now with the Steelers or the Vikings, we'll go over again. And I think all of them were it was like the fourth week of the season every time, I'm pretty sure, for Rodgers playing overseas each of the last 3 years, hypothetically, if he plays for either the Vikings or the Steelers this year.
The good news is this lengthy conversation about this game has taken the next topic that Jesse intended, discussing Justin Tucker, off the table.
Whoa,
so we don't have to go there, which is a win.
Thank you.
For all of us.
That's it
for Whoa Nelly.
You're welcome.
We'll wrap things up with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Wildy and Tausch.
The thing I love about Jordan is he is steady. There's not a guy in our locker room that does not respect the word that he puts in.
Find the full interview available exclusively on the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Don't believe me, just watch. Oh no, we're out of time. Luckily, Brian Bulaga, being the outstanding teammate that he is, foolishly has agreed to return tomorrow as we try to figure out how exactly and when exactly Mark Tauscher will return to the program. So, Brian, rest up. We'll be delving into all kinds of controversial subjects, including Justin Tucker's career. Probably not, by the way. Tomorrow...
No.
Dude, we're lucky to have you. We appreciate you. Thanks for being our cousin sub today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
He is the great Brian Bulaga, or as Jesse likes to call him, Bulaga! That's it for us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.